I wanted to ask Professor Lytle a question. Toward the end of the movie, Dr. Steingraber talks about the potential rise of an environmental human rights movement. I find myself sadly skeptical that such a thing could ever happen or would ever happen. I guess because I take the George Orwell view of humankind as sort of not that unself-motivated. I wonder if you have any thoughts in this regard.
Well, I'm at one level, I'm more optimistic that it might occur, and that I was just thinking of the difference, say, between environmental awareness when I went to Ireland, say, in 1990, and then went back in 2000, and I've been back since, and it's been almost like a complete reversal, and they're ahead of us now, whereas before, most of these issues were just not on the table at all. So, you know, consciousness flips fairly quickly. On the other hand, I can't tell you what they are, but I've heard statistics about the volume of non-tested chemicals that are produced now compared to when Rachel Carson wrote Silent Spring, increases like 80 times as many and as much now as there were then. And in a sense, Silent Spring had no impact, you know, in terms of our relative safety. And yet, on another hand, I play golf with an oncological biologist who informs me that, you know, that if many of the predictions that people made are true, that the levels of cancer that we would be seeing would be much extraordinarily higher than they in fact are. And many kinds of cancers are actually decreasing rather than increasing, and yet we are more aware of the toxicity of the environment in which we live. And so that this may be a case of incomplete knowledge. The one thing I did want to say to people that if you haven't and you want to think more about cancer and what we know about cancer, there's an absolutely wonderful book that I'm sure so many of you are aware of, but The Emperor of All the Maladies, which is a biography of cancer. And one of the things it makes very clear in that book is that so long we've been focused on cure, and that was most of the money that went into cancer research until the 1990s, really, went into looking for the silver bullet. And that's sort of the American approach to health and to virtually everything. It's the automobile model. You drive it until it breaks and then you get it fixed rather than doing preventive maintenance. And with cancer, we wait until it occurs and then we try to fix it. Now at least we're beginning to understand it. And I think one of the things we understand, of course, is that it isn't one thing, it's hundreds of things. That it's probably many, many conditions, and is going to require a whole different, you know, worldview and a tactical strategy to deal with it. Getting back to answering your question where specifically, I think that the ground just keeps shifting, you know, so that yes, I do think that movement it's arising, and that we even see that in a minor sense here at Bard, that we've become much more aware that the human rights program and the environmental studies program share a lot of landscape together, and that we really have to come together more, and combine our consciousness, our understandings, our resources. So I think that will happen, but by the time the movement gets traction, we'll be worried about something else, I fear.
We have all fine scientists, you and your environmental psychology, your economics. We have all the good people, and we have lots of citizens who care. And what I find is one of the enormous roadblocks is legislation, which is things like the Telecommunications Act in the cell tower business, which has, under precautionary principle standards, the possibility that there really can be brain cancer. But no, the industry has done tests on all the wrong emissions so that they come out with their claims to say there's no problem. The problem I have is that there's legislation that is a movement to prevent small towns and even states to be able to decide what they want for themselves. A law is passed that becomes a federal law. It bankrupts small towns to be able to go to federal courts, and the industry gets away with murder. I'd like to ask Mr. Smith how to address that.
Well, Okay, I wasn't expecting to be answered. I would say, first of all, that New York is a home rule state. And you do see certain towns, like the town of Bethel, the town of Highland and Sullivan County, and other towns, I didn't really want to talk about fracking, but they have imposed a flat-out ban on fracking. Now, frankly, I sit on the planning board where I live, and I don't really know if that could survive a court challenge. I have my doubts.
That's the issue. There were two towns upstate, the town of Dryden and the town of Middlefield, and they both voted for a ban. And I think it was Anschutz, the gas company, sued them. And the judge decided in favor of the towns, and now they're getting appealed. So we're waiting to see. And those towns are trying to raise a lot of money because they really can't, as you say, they can't afford these legal bills.
That's the problem and the issue. Let's not talk about fracking. We'll talk about the cell industry because it's been around just as long. But there are towns that have won their battles. They have gone up and fought it. It's when you say, there's a lot I don't know, but by God, I'm going to go find out. And it's my town and it's my rights that I don't want trampled on. And hopefully there is some energy underway now with anything from Occupy to, you know, people we see that are going to take it on. But unless people take it on, it's not going to change. And we're going to get the systems to get more and more entrenched. Money's going to win, and we will lose. So the citizens have to take it on.
But you do have to keep in mind that, you know, there are citizens and citizens, as you well know. And one of the great problems for people who approach fracking are the large numbers of people who are in favor of it. And particularly since it affects one of the most impoverished regions within this larger region, a place where economic development hasn't taken place since the days of the Borscht Belt. And so that, you know, and we've seen this also, one of the issues we haven't talked about is that one of the problems with fracking is that it's undermined solar and wind power solutions. But even there, you see, Kate, we were visiting people in upstate New York who lived in Cape Vincent, near the Thousand Islands, and where people in town leased their land to put in huge wind towers, which then severely impacted the quality of life for people who, these things are not actually silent, and they, you know, and they're visually, intimidating, depending on where you are located, vis-a-vis. And even as we approach this region, which is one of the great natural settings, what you would see is the night sky lit up with the, airplane lights on the wind towers. So you have visual pollution as a byproduct of dealing. I think that the problem is that this goes back to the point of noise, that complicates citizen action, is that you can die so many ways. You can be polluted in so many directions and corrupted. And I think that, I think the sort of the only thing that a sensible, sane citizen can do is to, sort of measure the issues that resonate most with you personally and focus on those and just count on the kindness of strangers to take up the issues that you have neither time, energy, nor resources to deal with yourself.
I'd like to add something here too. There's a large grassroots movement against fracking, as I'm sure you know. I hope it gets larger. But the grassroots activity is not really the problem. They're doing a lot of good stuff. I think a lot of the problem is politics in Albany, and I think that the Senate next week is having a hearing on hydrofracking. There are more than 20 bills now proposed in the Senate having to do with regulating certain aspects of this. Many of these bills have been around for several years. And in the past 4 years, not one bill to regulate hydrofracking has been passed. We have an issue where it's kind of a bipartisan issue, but the thing is that I think it happens all the time. I think our legislators have to realize that what's that old saying? It's amazing how much you can accomplish if you're willing to, if you don't care who takes the credit. You know, that's the problem. We have so many people, and we have similar bills with different people's names on it, and they won't put their names on the same bill. The politics here is a huge problem.
Politics.